in particular, reciting slichos and blowing the shofar. So I just wanted to talk about some of the halachos that govern our recitation of slichos. Now, Meikar Adin, slichos should be recited at chatzos of the night. The Rambam writes about people getting up at chatzos and reciting slichos ad yeyor hayom. It's an amazing thing. They would literally say slichos for many, many, many hours. Obviously, it's a little bit difficult for us to do that on an ongoing basis, but there are people who do. We should be inspired by that level of practice. There is a halacha that you should wear a talis, even if it's completely dark outside, for slichos. The Gemara Masech the Rosh Hashanah, based on the pasuk that we read, Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. So the Gemara says, Umale mikra kasu v'yepsala amro, that if it wasn't actually a pasuk in the Chumash, there's no way we could say such a thing. Milamech nisatim kadosh baruch hu kishliach tzibor, that God wrapped himself, Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra, Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun, the centerpiece of the slichos, the gimel midos harachamim, so that Hashem wrapped himself in a talus like the shliach tzibor and taught Moshe Rabbeinu the seder yud gimel midos harachamim. So whenever you recite slichos, the shliach tzibor should be wearing a talus. Now again, if it's nighttime, so then you shouldn't say a bracha on the talus. The minhag developed not to use his own talus, but to use a borrowed talus, because there you probably don't make a bracha anyway. So that's something to bear in mind. Certainly the first night of to use the borrowed talus. There's another very fascinating element of the practice of saying slichos, which is a minhag in some communities, was whoever leads slichos would lead all of the davenings that day, including if somebody had a yortzeit, even for a parent. So that's an amazing idea, that davening slichos would carry over the entire day. Like, why would that be? How could it possibly take priority over yortzeit for a parent, which is the first in all of the priorities in the Seder Kedimos? So the idea is really, think about it, the basis of this minhag is that these aren't just discrete tfilos, but they're defined as yimei slicha. They're defined as days of slicha. Therefore, whoever daven for slichos is sort of the shliach tzibor for the entire day, because the slichos aren't just discrete elements that you do on that day, but they define the entire day. It's a yom slicha, and therefore, by all rights, he would be able, or should be the one to continue dab. However, of course, these things generate machlokas, and the worst thing in the world to have this time of year is any kind of machlokas. So people have to work things out. It's not our minhag in our community anyway. People would still be able to have kedimas for a yortzeit, but even if it were, we would try to work things out. So on that note, it's very important to mention in this context that in Yamim Noraim in general, people dab in a certain tefillah, they are presumed to have a chazaka on that tefillah. So let's say this up. Somebody does Marv on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, or somebody does Haftarah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So basically, they do have a chazaka there. But again, we should try to avoid machlokas at all costs when it comes to these things. So the Yaruch HaShulchan discusses, so let's say you have a person who usually blows a shofar on the first day, and then a person who blows a shofar on the second day. It's a year like last year, where it's Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. So what do you do? So what's, one person isn't going to get to blow the shofar. So in principle, you would actually say the guy who blows the first day should actually get to blow the shofar on the second day. The guy who normally blows the shofar on the second day, if you're counterintuitively, so he'll be deferred. But, there could be rough feelings associated with that. So the watchword with all of these things is for people not to stand on ceremony, and people to try to be mevater as much as possible, and to try to work new people in, to try to be inclusive as much as possible, because literally the worst thing to have in the context of the Yom of Noraim, when we're all trying to, band together, we even say by Yom Kippur, Anu Matirim Lispalol Ima Varyanim, is that we're not looking to have a world war over who's doing maftir or who's blowing the shofar. So it's very important to, even though in principle the idea of a chazaka would apply, it is very important for people to try to be as conciliatory as possible. There was an ancient minhag, I'll finish with this, that the Shluchei Tzibor, the Yamim Norai, used to separate themselves for 72 hours. They used to go into Hispodidus for 72 hours. Prior to leading the davening in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I don't know if anybody here comes from a community where this was practiced for 72 hours, where, they go in and, meditate on their responsibilities. It seems to me that the basis of the minhag would probably be the Shloshos Yimei Hagbalah, the fact that Jewish people prepared for Matzah Torah to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a rendezvous with the Shechina for 72 hours. I think that's probably the basis of that minhag. So it's obviously not practiced here anymore, but that's also something to consider, is that people should prepare. They should prepare very well. They should prepare themselves properly in terms of the technical aspects of it, whether there is Shliach Tzibor, whether there's a Baal Torah, whether there's a Baal Tokeya. That's a clear matter of halacha. And they should also prepare themselves spiritually to be able to discharge such a serious obligation. So in modern times, I'm not aware of anybody who goes into seclusion for 72 hours, but the ethic of preparing oneself at every level, spiritually and otherwise, is something which is to be taken with the highest degree of seriousness, and to make sure that one is prepared to represent the tzibor on Yimei Hadin is certainly not a trivial matter altogether.